I've been to South America, seen most of the countries there 20 years ago, but the motivation to go this time for 6 months, which was last year, was to experience eternal spring. I should explain what eternal spring is. Basically, it's perfect weather for the whole year. And why it comes about is that if you're at an altitude of at least 1,500 meters, usually about 2,000, up to 3,000 maybe, there's many cities in South America that give you this perfect weather every day. I'll give you an example what it's like. In Mexico City, which I spent a month in, the temperature during the day is 27. So you walk out of your hotel at 9 o'clock in the morning in a t-shirt. It soon gets to 27, the max. 9 o'clock at night, it is about 17 Celsius again. So 9 o'clock in the morning was 17 C and 9 o'clock at night was 17 C. And it actually gets a bit colder overnight, but you're sleeping. And for me, sunny days, blue sky, perfect weather every day. I really wanted to experience it.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. An Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Do you think overseas travel is unaffordable? Well, I've got a special guest on our show that is living proof that you can travel pretty well 365 days of the year and still save money as well. That's right. Shane Thomas, an Australian, has been traveling for 40 years and full-time for over 10 years, and he does it on a shoestring, $8,000 a year. He is very committed. He travels light, and he is extremely easy to listen to. Here's part one. Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy Show with your host, Anne Nelson. And on the line today, I have Shane Thomas. And you might remember Shane. We had him on the show quite a few years ago now, a couple of years, and he's recognized as the budget world traveler. Hi, Shane.
How are you, Anne?
I'm great. And you're back in Australia for a change.
Yes, just for 3 weeks and fly out Tuesday, which is 2 days ahead. Yeah.
So just to refresh the memories of the listeners, how long have you been a world traveler for?
I actually started traveling when I was 20, but I retired at age 49. So for the last 10 and a half years, I've been traveling nonstop. 90% would be overseas, 10% Australia.
So you're not in Australia very long at all?
Not normally, no.
Not normally. And where's your favourite places to hang out?
The Philippines is a place that I spend more time, and the main reason I spend the time there is I have about 5 very good Australian friends that I would trust my life with, and that's important to have people you really trust.
And they live there?
Not all the time, but like me, they keep moving around, but there's usually always someone that you know. Yeah.
So that's important for you to have some friends. I suppose you'd have a lot of local friends. You keep going back to these countries year after year.
That's true. I just spent 3 months in China, and one of my old friends from 1994 still looked after me when I was there for the 3 months, making sure I got a cheap hotel. He told me where to go to eat, even though I knew the place. Obviously, as years go by, things change. So a local helping you means a lot.
And I know Asia's been your favourite place to hang out, but I believe recently you spent some time over in the Americas. So would you like to tell us why you went over there and where you went?
I've been to South America, seen most of the countries there 20 years ago. But the motivation to go this time for 6 months, which was last year, was to experience eternal spring. I should explain what eternal spring is. Basically, it's perfect weather for the whole year. And why it comes about is that if you're at an altitude of at least 1,500 meters, usually about 2,000, up to 3,000 maybe, there's many cities in South America that give you this perfect weather every day. I'll give you an example what it's like. In Mexico City, which I spent a month in, the temperature during the day is 27. So you walk out of your hotel at 9 o'clock in the morning in a t-shirt. It soon gets to 27, the max. 9 o'clock at night, it is about 17 Celsius again. So 9 o'clock in the morning was 17 C and 9 o'clock at night was 17 C. And it actually gets a bit colder overnight, but you're sleeping. And for me, sunny days, blue sky, perfect weather every day. I really wanted to experience it.
Because it gets a bit steamy in Asia, doesn't it?
Yeah, Asia's too hot for me. I mean, sometimes I hide from the heat, which isn't ideal.
And did you only go to Mexico?
I went to Colombia. Basically, I went to only those two countries. So Mexico City in Mexico and a place called San Cristobal de la Casa. It was a colonial town, so it was very beautiful to photograph. And I stayed cheaply there for 2 months. It was extremely cheap living, cheaper than Asia, would you believe?
Wow. So
if you go to a capital city like Mexico City, you pay a fair amount of money, cheaper than Australia, of course, but for budget travel, it's a reasonable price. But when you go to these other cities, it gets much cheaper in Mexico. So I believe that you could find whatever climate you want, and that varies on altitude. So basically, the reason I like San Cristobal de la Casa and I stayed there so long, it was 21 degrees, 22 degrees during the day, which to me is perfect. I don't want 27 or 37.
Yes, I know what you mean. I live in North Queensland, which is a very tropical place. It gets quite warm during summer months. Colombia, it sounds very exotic. Are there many people doing what you do in this world?
Not for as long as I've done. It's very rare. But whether it's digital nomads traveling around working via the internet, they sort of do it for a couple of years and enjoy it. And then when some of the very famous ones who've made a lot of money blogging and traveling around the world, they sort of set their roots down usually at about the 10-year mark. That's what I've noticed in some very successful people. So they spend less time on the road and more time with their perhaps newly acquired wife or kids, or, you know, there's something that anchors them.
Mm. So what keeps you going, travelling around the world?
I love the freedom and I love being time rich, and that's exactly what it is. You're rich in time. You don't have to be rich in money if you're living in developing countries, which is about three-quarters of the world. So you've got a phenomenal choice of countries and cities within those countries to visit and live cheaply and save.
Mm. Do you find that you still stand out from the locals? Do they treat you differently?
Yes, you've got to be aware that if you're a foreigner with your white skin, you stand out. You're being watched. So from the point of view of security, you have to be very aware. And if you're carrying a big camera, for example, I bought my dream camera in Japan prior to going to South America. And in South America, I got rolled for the first time in my life after 111 countries, never had a problem. But in a city called Medellin, which is in Colombia, it's a great expat city. It's a wonderful place to live. I'd even recommend living there. But unfortunately, I made a couple of mistakes. Having the camera on display was not clever, but night, it got a little bit dark, and that's where you're much more vulnerable. So even in dangerous places, daytime is definitely much safer. I think it should be a golden rule. If you carry an expensive camera, don't walk around at night.
Oh. And I suppose that was the last you seen of it.
I stayed 1 month in that city and I just told you it was Medellin. I did stay in Medellin for 1 month, but the actual city where the robbery happened was Bogota, which is the capital of Colombia.
It's one of those things. There's always plenty of people with not much to do watching all the other people, isn't it? I know my daughter lost her iPhone when she was in Thailand. We soon found out about having quality travel insurance because what she got paid out for her loss of her phone did not cover the cost of it, that's for sure.
Insurance is something that I've avoided all my travel life, like 40 years of traveling, no insurance. But I did take insurance when I went to South America because I knew that some cities may be a bit risky.
Right.
And the sort of insurance I had was medical only. I didn't have the camera insured. So moral to the story, if you're really carrying a semi-professional, professional camera, make sure it's insured.
Right. I find it interesting talking to people that have decided to relocate from their home countries, and some of them are saying they do it because of how the elderly are treated back home. Have you found that when you are in the third world countries that you're actually more respect for the elderly?
Yes, age 60, a lot of respect. I spent a month in Tokyo, which is an expensive city, did that cheaply for about $1,000 Australian for the month, all in, flights, the whole lot.
Man.
And all the young people treated me so well. They just wanted to learn what I've been up to. In the lesser countries, the developing countries, yes, you do have privileges. The main thing is your money goes a very long way. So you can choose to save or you can choose to live at any level you want. And even if you lived at a wealthy level, it'd still be good value.
I see. It's a shame, I suppose, to think that you have to go somewhere else to get any respect. But apparently that's true. When you get older, once you seem to finish work, the younger people seem to treat you completely differently.
Yes.
In Australia and the US, I know.
If you want to take pictures of kids, for example, in Asia, you look the parents in the eye and, you know, you can take a picture of their child. And there's no sort of strange thoughts going on. Whereas in Australia, if you were to take a picture of a child, you know, you could cause a big problem. And it's so sad that what's going through your head, you know, you just have to be so careful. And that's one problem with a very developed, rich country, is that you can almost say that rich countries are like nanny states in terms of the rules that the government's put in place and the way things have progressed. When you're actually in these developing countries, you're much more free.
Yes, it's just amazing that you can spend so much time on the road and, like you said, over 10 years and you've only had one incidence of theft. Do you think women are treated any differently to men on the road?
I think women have to be more careful. I've been travelling for about 40 years, so obviously I've travelled with a lot of lady travellers on all sorts of different transport, different places. And women are still traveling. But as a woman, you really have to be more careful. Like walking around at night by yourself is not very clever. So for a woman, I would suggest if they stayed in a youth hostel, that's cheap, they make friends, and then they can go out partying or go out visiting or whatever as a group. And it's so easy to make a friend in a youth hostel anywhere in the world. For example, it could be in the dormitory where you sleep. It could be in the kitchen where you're cooking. So you get many chances. Even a shy person would make a friend. in a hostel. So that's a good thing for a woman, I think. Now, if she stays in a hotel by herself and it's a little bit of a suspect place, I don't think that's too good.
Older women?
I think older women have the self-confidence and would probably be more conservative. Like, they wouldn't wander around aimlessly at night like a guy can get away with.
Just remind us now, what's the type of accommodation that you typically find? Because you seem to be able to survive very cheap in the, all of the countries where you visit.
What my secret is I negotiate a month's rent. And the way you do that is you make sure you're talking to the owner or the manager, because the receptionist may not know what day it is, has no authority, so you can't get a good price. So I'll give you an example of the Philippines, where I've been staying in the same hotel for about 9.5 years. That hotel cost about $250 Australian a month, and it's in a very central location. It's 5 minutes to a major mall walking, and it has a hot water shower, which is a luxury in Asia. It has unlimited air conditioning. It has quite good Wi-Fi. And it's a small room, but it's a hotel. So it's 24-hour security. There is a kitchen you could use if you wanted to. But this is an exception. This is something I found 9.5 years ago by walking around for half a day, talking to locals, asking. And eventually I found this gem. Whereas most people going to that city would be paying much more.
You certainly do know how to negotiate. That's an amazing price.
I was going to mention the reason I do this is the average daily cost from that $250, if you divide it, it's about $7 a day. But if you just walk into that hotel for one day, the normal rate is $25 Australian. So monthly means that your accommodation drops down to about a quarter or a third of the daily rate.
Well, that's a good tip to know that that's possible.
Yeah. Even in Vietnam, they might not have monthly rental, but you need to be smart. Let's suppose they're asking $8 for the hotel per day. You might offer them $7 multiplied by 30 for a month. So if you hand a lot of cash across for the month, they may think, I think I'll grab that. So you get that discount for the whole 30 days.
That's a very good tip. We could talk here all day, but we don't have all day, unfortunately. If you find some new places that you are fond of, maybe we can talk again another time and share what else you've been doing in the future.
It'd be my pleasure, Anne. Thank you.
You're welcome. And if anyone wanted to follow you at all, where would they do that?
I'm Writer of the Year amongst many other people, of course, but I'm Writer of the Year on Kiora, Q-U-O-R-A. Mm-hmm. What Kiora is when you Google, you're getting a response from a robot. When you ask a question in Kiora, you're actually getting an answer from a person who specializes in that area. So, for example, one of the guys from the space station answers questions. So you can imagine you get a very high level of expertise, very different to a Google search. It's not a way to find me, although I would have a lot of answers on retirement and travel. So if you search within Kiora for anything to do with travel, or anything to do with retirement, you'll certainly see some of my posts there amongst many other good posts. So it is a great resource.
All right. Well, thanks very much once again for being on the Retire Well, Retire Happy show. And we look forward to catching up with you another time. Thanks, Shane.
Thanks, Anne. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.
Be listening next week for part two of this very interesting interview with Shane Thomas, and pick up some more budget travel tips.